Good afternoon, everyone. It's Avery Michaels. Thanks for tuning in to Puzzled Parent and Then Some. I hope everyone is having a great Friday. I am at the lake, at my house, just hanging out. I wanted to share some information about the podcast. Actually, I want to start the podcast. I'm going to start the podcast now. All right. I'm brand new at this, but if you give me some time, maybe I can get it figured out and dole out some proper information. Bear with my southern accent. I promise my writing is better than my speech. I promise. So, my son has autism, severe autism, not Asperger's, but severe autism. He's 10 now, and he's entering the fourth grade this year. He just started. I'm watching his peers, all of my friends' children of the same age, move into the fifth grade. Not the fourth grade, but the fifth grade. They're all a year ahead. But that's my fault. Because when my son was younger, I just worked like a dog. And instead of doing all of the research that I probably should have done, and I probably didn't have enough people advising me properly. Instead, I took the advice from the people who I thought I could trust, but who turned out to be the worst people to take advice from, which was the school district. See, I knew my son was severely mentally behind by his third birthday. He had met all his milestones by the age of two, so he didn't qualify for early intervention. He has a genetic condition called tuberous sclerosis complex, so we always knew autism and mental delays were a possibility. So I watched him pretty closely. But by his third birthday, he had started to regress. I knew that the school had to provide certain services. So he needed speech and occupational and even behavioral therapy. As a medical professional that I am, I knew that he needed medication, but that part was the part I was in denial about. Denial is a long river. We'll get into that later. Staying on point, not my strong suit, but I will try, I promise. Back to the school district. The school district had already developed a program. They had it in place for years. We're going to put program in air quotes since you guys can't see me. Program. What is a program? To them, it was, you know, not very in depth at the time. They used this quote-unquote program to quote-unquote satisfy the federally mandated requirements of FAPE, that's F-A-P-E, free and appropriate public education, and the requirements of IDEA, I-D-E-A, Individuals with Disability Education Act. That's what they thought their program was satisfying, but it did not do that at all. So, when I questioned the experts as to why they only offered 2.5 hours a day, 2 mornings a week for my child to receive speech and occupational therapy, also there were no typical peers there, but at the time I didn't know that there should be. There was so much I didn't know. I wish I had had somebody to tell me. I talked with the head of that program, and I was told that it was, what they were offering was more than most districts received due to their funding, and I should be happy with what we had. Okay, I told them, says the mom, just trying to scrape by and make things happen, because that's what we do. It's kind of like cooking with Hamburger Helper. You know it's not the best, but you figure if you add a decent side, you'll make it work. So I added a pinch of speech therapy once a week on the side, crossed my fingers, and prayed for the best. And that was my plan. So he had speech and occupational at the school, and I added an extra 30 minutes of speech private speech a week, and we just kept moving, hoping that, you know, he would eventually start talking better. He spoke, but not anywhere near where the other kids were, and he was regressing. So that was a sign for me that we were not headed in the right direction. At the time, I was working at the hospital. I have a degree in radiology, so I was working at the hospital. I was taking call, but I couldn't keep doing that at that point. There was no way I could take call, work days, some nights, and get my son to and from these 2.5 hour, 2-day-a-week appointments, plus that 30 minutes of therapy a week. It just wasn't going to happen. And so you'll also find that babysitters don't like those kind of jobs. They don't like to work 2.5 hours, 2 days a week. It just, you know, doesn't work like that. You have to hire somebody who can make some money. They want a full-time nannying job, or they want at least a part-time after-school job, you know, something like that. And when you're working with a special needs child, they want to get paid extra as well. So, you know, it just wasn't going to work. I had to figure something else out. So instead of doing all that, I took a part-time job, which I felt like was a godsend because, I mean, they called me. The college called me and said, you know, we really are looking for a part-time educator. And I said, oh, I'll take it, because my son's schedule was Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the teaching schedule was Mondays and Wednesdays. So I took it. I snatched it up. I dropped my hospital job and resigned from there and took the part-time teaching job. It provided no insurance, though, no health insurance. So I had to get on that COBRA insurance, which is like what you get post-job. You have to be on it for a while to qualify for what they call AHIP here in Alabama, which is the Alabama Health Insurance Program. It's, you still have to pay for it, but it's not quite as expensive as COBRA, which is about $1,300 a month. And then, or it was for me and my son at the time. And then, you know, AHIP, after you stay on COBRA for a year, AHIP is kind of like a group health insurance for people with part-time jobs. So you're still paying this humongous amount of money, which was about $900 a month. And you're still paying for this private health insurance. You're not on government assistance. But, you know, anyway, I'm getting sidetracked again. Okay, so I took the part-time job, the teaching job, no insurance, but I still had health insurance through COBRA. So I was able to get him the speech therapy that he needed. But, you know, he needed ABA, which is applied behavioral analysis, but insurance didn't cover that then at all, and we could not afford it. At the time, we were barely getting by on my teaching salary, because my teaching salary paid substantially less than what I was making at the hospital, obviously, because it was part-time. And, you know, insurance and food, got to have that. So moving on, I had another meeting with the special education teacher about their program. See, by law, the school has to begin services by the age of 3 if the child is behind, which my son was behind at this point, deemed by them. They decided he was behind. It wasn't just what his doctor said. It wasn't just that he was diagnosed with autism. They saw him, evaluated him, and said, yes, we agree he's behind. You know, we're going to take him in. So this was a multifaceted decision. So it wasn't just me deciding. You know, of course, nobody wants their child to be behind. So he was too severely affected by autism to be in daycare. He was in daycare until he was 2, and then they couldn't handle him anymore, so they kicked him out. So that's kind of when the spiral of, oh my gosh, what am I doing, began for me, What have I missed? I skipped a step. I blinked. I was working too much. I did this, or I wasn't doing that. I wasn't paying close enough attention. Yeah, I knew something was wrong with him, but I didn't think it was that bad. But it was, because so many people were telling me, you know, it is that bad. You need to have him in a special program. So that's how I got where I was. With the school and everything else. And it's sort of like doing 100 miles an hour, hitting a brick wall. And yeah, you have your seatbelt on, but you're still really shaken up. You know, this is your child we're talking about, you know, your baby. So if you're a mom, you held them, you breastfed them, you know, you carried them. If you're a daddy, you loved on them, you know, you held them when they were born. It's hard. It's hard to wrap your mind around, but you never want to go to denial. Denial is a place where you don't want to be. Moving forward, I couldn't work full time. He couldn't be in daycare. However, I felt the school should be offering more. Like, they should be the ones saying, we will take him in these hours, you know, at least 3 days a week, doing something consistent. When you have a child with autism, they need consistency, not 2.5 hours a day, twice a week, being dropped off into a contained classroom. That was just, I couldn't wrap my mind around it at the time. Now that I know so much about it, I know and I can see how wrong it was. So the more I talked to them about it, the more defensive they became about their budget. I mean, their budget. Each time I broached the subject, it was budget, budget, budget. That's when I began to wonder how much they cared about my budget. Did they? No, nobody ever asked about my budget, because by that time, I had voluntarily given up my car to the bank. Now, this is a person with an 801 credit score who worked at a hospital, who had a full-time career prior to even having a child. So, I mean, responsible. I had already owned 2 homes. I mean, this was crazy that all this kind of, you know, financially just fell off a cliff. I voluntarily let them gave my car back to the bank, which is a repossession no matter what. I can't believe I'm sharing this with everybody in the world. But yes, I did that, and I purchased myself an old beat up but still well running Honda, which I still have, actually. I still have that Honda Accord. Thanks, Honda. Unfortunately, my mom had passed away just before my son was born, which I am not in a place to get into that right now. I can't even discuss that right now, so let's not go there. But she left me her house. I'm an only child, and her house was paid for. So I would never say that her death was a blessing, but I'm saying that I was blessed to have the opportunity to have that house. Otherwise, we wouldn't have even had a place to live. We would have had to live with a relative. Being an only child and, you know, not really having a great relationship with my dad, you know, I was kind of on my own. I mean, my husband, I'll get into my husband in a few minutes. Moving forward, the point is that the school wasn't concerned about my budget. So why did I continually have to hear about their budget? I was tired of it, tired, tired, tired. And I became angry. And all of that anger replaced that sorrowful hopelessness I'd been feeling as I had watched my only son trudge in and out of this building day after day as all the typical children played outside or participated in sports or went to the fall festivals and played on the bouncy houses. And my son wasn't invited to do any of that. He was only allowed to come there for his therapy. And so, yeah, I was pissed. Pissed. So at that point, I found I decided to call an advocacy service. I didn't even know these things existed. But somebody had mentioned it, or I saw it on a website or something. So I called an advocacy service. So that you know, there is an advocacy service in every state. I was told that the school was breaking the law, and I was shocked. And they told me to get a lawyer, and I was shocked again. I was like, get a lawyer? What do you mean get a lawyer? So why do I need a lawyer? But that's exactly what I did. It took many phone calls to find an attorney for our calls. But then it happened. I'm sitting there and the phone rings. And this strong, passionate female voice comes on the line and she said she would take care of us. And that's just what she did. That was attorney number one and battle number one of many. I've learned a lot on this journey. And I'm still learning every single day. This road is paved with blood, sweat, and tears, my friends. I'm not kidding. They may call me the pit bull mom, but that's just their perception. That's the face I have to put on for them before I cry myself to sleep, wondering if my baby would ever get a taste of normal? Was school ever going to be an option for him? I didn't know. I can't tell you how much I thought about it. I wished I had somebody to tell me the steps to take to get where I am now. Excuse me. To continue on this path, because our normal friends, I put that in air quotes too, our normal, our kids' normal is different than most people's normal. The sooner you accept that, take it in, chew it up, just really savor it, the better. Because the worst place you can go is that denial place. It's not good for anybody. My husband spent a few years in the denial desert. I love him dearly. And now he stands behind me 110%. He knows how hard I fight for my kid. And he is with me. Every time I say we have a meeting, he is there. But back then, it wasn't always like that. He worked 6 days a week and goofed off. And we stayed separated about half the time. Our marriage was in disarray. If you look at like just the statistics, I don't have them in front of me, but parents of special needs children, they don't always stay together. It's the marriage survival rate is quite low compared to that of typical children, which is unfortunate because it's hard. This life is hard. Every life is hard, but this one is especially different. Anyway, my husband and I, we're on the same page now. I think it took a lot of really reality checks for both of us to get there. Wait, are we there? I think we're there. Most days we're there anyway. But we love each other and we back each other up to the fullest. So I think that we've come a long way. I have a lot to share on these topics. I hope this reaches somebody that it can help. I'm going to try to do a new episode each Friday. So please feel free to email me if you need any resources. I'm happy to help. This is what I do. My husband always says, can you get paid for this? And I say, no, I don't want to get paid for this. This is not something that I do to get paid. I help other parents advocate for their own children so that they don't have to go down this blood, sweat, and tears paving road crap that I went through with my son. Instead, you know, we can do this together. A lot of this can be done without attorneys. It can be done with simple communication, but I didn't know that at the time. Sometimes you do need a lawyer. Sometimes you have to flex, but sometimes you don't. And sometimes you stress and sometimes you don't. You just need to know the difference of when those times are. So feel free to email me if you have any questions or need some resources. I'm happy to help you. You can email me at averymichaelsbooks@gmail.com. I think next week we'll talk a bit more about FAPE and IDEA. If you want to look those up, that's F as in Frank, A, P as in Paul, E, and IDEA, I, D as in dog, E, A, and how our legal battle began. There's so much to this story, to our story, because it develops more every day. I could babble on for hours. I mean, really. But also, I want to talk about you. What are you doing to take care of yourself? Because that's so important too. If you can't take care of yourself, you can't help anybody else. I think that's something that everybody needs to realize. I always tell parents that they need to have a person too. You need to have a person. If it's not your husband or your spouse or your friend or whatever, your mama, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle. For me, it's my aunt. I have a person. If I need a break, I send my son to my person, my aunt, and she takes care of him so that my husband and I, we can have a night out. Or we can sit here on the couch and hold hands and watch a movie, you know? And, you know, that's okay. It's okay to need a break. It's okay to need an outlet. You know, I write books. That's what I do. What do you do for yourself? So if I have free time, I'm sitting there writing or editing or enjoy just that. Even if I don't publish it, I might have 3,000 books on my computer that aren't published. So what? I enjoyed it. Sometimes they're not great books, but I love it. That's what I do. Now I'm trying my hand at this, and I hope it helps somebody. So on that note, bless up. That's all I can tell you. Bless up and bless out. If you got a blessing, hand it to somebody else. If you don't, maybe somebody will hand you one. Y'all have a good weekend now. Bye-bye.